The sixth day of the month. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6, verse 8. Again today, we consider how our response of loving for a loving God shapes our lives and propels us forward in faithful action. The most famous words from Micah at first seem to read like a list of three things: act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. But it is not so. Justice and mercy cannot be separated, at least as God defines them. Justice without mercy is harshly legalistic, even cruel. Mercy without justice sacrifices fairness on the altar of sentimentality. To the question, is God just or is God kind? The only proper answer is both. Furthermore, humility before God consists of imitating this justice mercy of God. Humility is our response to divine love toward us and our witness to the power God's love can release in others. Therefore, what Micah sets forth is one thing, not three. We would probably be happier with three. Then we could keep our little list and check off each item in turn, but it cannot be. Hence, we are constrained to ask, if I seek justice for myself, can I understand when others extend mercy to those who have hurt me? Can I show mercy myself? If I am merciful to others, can I understand why those who have been hurt think I have no concern for fairness? Since God alone knows in what proportions justice and mercy must be mixed in any given instance, can I learn that walking humbly with God not only means that I seek to emulate God, it also means I cannot fully do so, since God alone is the righteous judge. How do I, with my noble aspirations, strive to emulate God and yet confront my limitations of understanding and action? How does all of this relate to Christian teaching about forgiving others in love as a loving God has forgiven us? Opening prayer. Grant to me and to all your people, O God, the gift of walking humbly with you. Give us the wisdom to know how best to temper justice with mercy, to buttress mercy with justice, so that your will may be done on earth as in heaven, through Christ our judge and advocate. Amen. Psalm 82. God calls the judges into his courtroom. He puts all the judges in the dock. Enough! You've corrupted justice long enough. You've let the wicked get away with murder. You're here to defend the defenseless, to make sure that underdogs get a fair break. Your job is to stand up for the powerless and prosecute all those who exploit them. Ignorant judges, head-in-the-sand judges, they haven't a clue to what's going on. And now everything's falling apart. The world's coming unglued. I appointed you judges, each one of you, deputies of the High God. But you've betrayed your commission, and now you're stripped of your rank, busted. Oh God, give them what they've got coming. You've got the whole world in your hands. From the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 4 through 7, and this is verses 18 to the 6th verse of the 9th chapter. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, do men fall and not get up again? Does one turn away and not repent? Why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course like a horse charging into the battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her reasons. And the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the ordinance of the Lord. My sorrow is beyond healing. My heart is faint within me. Behold, listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from a distant land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not within her? Why have they provoked me with their graven images, with foreign idols? Harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored? Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go with them. For all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. From Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, and much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. From the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying about yourself? Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they're saying to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. These are the readings of the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wednesday's Prayer. In the middle of this week, good Lord, assure me again of your presence in the midst of life. Renew my strength and determination to do your will on earth, even as it is done in heaven. Save me from self-contentment, from a vision that is too narrow. Enable me to reach beyond my parish into my community, beyond my community into every corner of your anguished world. Help me to see even beyond this world into the vast expanse of your universe, created as a sign of your extraordinary love and of your enduring power. This I ask through Christ, through whom all things were made, in whom all things hold together. Amen. A prayer by Mikkel Kuist, entitled The Pornographic Magazine. Lord, I am ashamed of this magazine. You must be profoundly hurt in your infinite purity. The office employees all contributed to buy it. The boy ran to fetch it and pored over it on the way back. Here it is, on its shining pages, naked bodies are exposed, going from office to office, from hand to hand, such foolish giggles, such lustful glances, empty bodies, soulless bodies, adult toys for the hardened and the soiled. And yet, Lord, man's body is beautiful. From the beginning, you, the supreme artist, held the model before you, knowing that one day you would dwell in a human body when taking on the nature of man. Slowly you shaped it with your powerful hands, and into its inert matter you breathed a living soul. From then on, Lord, you asked us to respect the body, for the whole body is a conveyor of the spirit, and we need this sensitive instrument that our spirits may commune with those of our brothers. Words in long procession lead us toward other souls. A smile on our lips, the expression in our eyes reveal the soul. The clasp of a hand carries our soul to a friend. A kiss yields it to the loved one. The embrace of the couple unites two souls in quest of a new child of God. But it was not enough for you, Lord, to make of our flesh the visible sign of the Spirit. Through your grace, the Christian's body became sacred, the temple of the Trinity, a member of the Lord and a bearer of his God, supreme dignity of this splendid body. Here, Lord, before you tonight are the bodies of sleeping men, the pure body of the tiny child, the soiled body of the prostitute, the vigorous body of the athlete, the exhausted body of the factory worker, the soft body of the playboy, the surfeited body of the rich man, the battered body of the poor man, the beaten body of the slum child, the feverish body of the sick man, the painful body of the injured man, the paralyzed body of the cripple, all bodies, Lord of all ages. Here's the body of the fragile newborn baby, plucked like ripe fruit from its mother. Here's the body of the light-hearted child who falls and gets up, unmindful of his cuts. Here's the body of the worried adolescent who doesn't know that it's a fine thing to grow up. Here's the body of the grown man, powerful and proud of his strength. Here's the body of the old man, gradually failing. I offer them all to you, Lord, and I ask you to bless them while they lie in silence, wrapped in your night. Left by their sleeping souls, they are there before your eyes, your own. Tomorrow, shaken from their sleep, they will have to resume work. May they be servants and not masters, welcoming homes and not prisons, temples of the living God and not tombs. May these bodies be developed, purified, transfigured by those who dwell in them, and may we find them at the end of their days, faithful companions, illumined by the beauty of their souls. In your sight, Lord, and in your mother's, since you both belong to our earth, and all the bodies of men will be the guest in glory of your eternal heaven. Amen. The Lord's Prayer, Traditional Text. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.